Before I share, I always ask that you join me in another moment of silence as I get this fool named Carl out of the way. If you're praying, people, I ask you to pray along with me that he, first of all, allows me to say whatever it is he wants said tonight. But then above all, he would allow me to say at least something, just something that would be a benefit to each and every person here tonight. Thank you, I'm an addict. My name's Carl. I need to tell you that I really don't want to be here. I was hoping that the storm would be so serious that the lights would go out, the sirens would sound. I come from Dallas, Texas. It's where I live. I grew up in Kansas City, Kansas. And in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, y'all got it going on the East Coast. So I don't talk fast. And I'm subject to say y'all before it's over with. But I understand loving God expressed himself in the group conscience, asked me to come down here and share, so that's what I'm going to do. I need to tell you that I grew up on the dividing line between the black and the white community. And the black guys used to jump on me because I was white and had curly hair. And the white guys used to jump on me because I was black and had nappy hair. And the Mexicans didn't like me because I couldn't speak Spanish. Because that's a bad thing if you're a Mexican and you don't speak Spanish. I need to also tell you that my mother, before she died, when she bore me, she got an 11-inch scar on her neck in the hospital. Because my daddy cut her throat. Because he didn't feel like I was his son, mama's baby, daddy's maybe. I need to tell you I was raised by my grandmother. She was trying to express how much she loved me. And what she told me was that she came and got me at the babysitter because I had been abandoned. I had been there for 3 days. And my milk was sour. My diaper was soiled. And I weighed 4 ounces less than I did the day I was born. And I tend to sometimes express myself in song when I share. And some of y'all maybe heard a guy named B.B. King. Yeah. B.B. King had a song that said, "Nobody loved me, nobody seemed to care." And for me, that was my theme song. But see, it turned out my grandmother was really my step-grandmother. She had been my grandfather's girlfriend, and he divorced his wife, my father's mother, and married his girlfriend. So all my aunts and uncles didn't like me neither. There was no 2.3 kids to the household. And I was raised by these old people, and I can just remember that way it worked is you fight your way up into a family till eventually you got a butt whipping. So I go home, I fight little Stevie, and he go home, get his big brother Donald, I fight Donald, and he go home, get his big brother George, and then George whip my butt. And that's the way I live my life. And the reason I bring that up because of the topic today. It says, doing something different, him or her. I need to tell you, I have a birth defect. This finger sticks up, my wrist won't bend. I was born like that. But see, my aunts and uncles, who didn't like me no way, said I was a sissy. Said I was going to grow up and I was going to be a sissy because I always had my hand up like this. So it started with him. Every little boy in the neighborhood that was willing, I'd screw him. Because I wanted to prove I wasn't going to be a sissy. 20 years later, I found out whether you're pitching or catching, you're still in the game anyway. But I need to tell you, because we're talking about doing something different, and I love the topic because the topic is a recovery topic. Doing something different. And I need to tell you that for a long time, I tried to play like I suffered some shame and guilt because I had those same-sex relationships. But I'm going to tell you something. I didn't know no better. I thought it was cool. And long as I was getting my little drip, 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 I didn't care. And I need to tell you that at age 59, today, I can stand before you and tell you I still don't care. Now, I don't participate in that behavior. I hadn't participated in that behavior for 15, 16 years. But by the same token, it don't bother me that I did. See, it's no sense in me claiming something that ain't real for me. Because see, doing something different is, the literature says, my real value is what? Being who I am. That's who I am. I didn't know no better. And because I didn't know no better, I'm not going to punish myself because I made a mistake. Hell, that's what I've been doing all my life. And so the same thing happens when it came to women. I was, I dated the same three women simultaneously for 11 years. And I remember one day that I went to jail and they all had to get together because they all had each other's phone numbers. They had the right to call me because I was a player, I thought, you know. When I met a woman, the first line was, no chance for romance without finance. And we would have a discussion about how much money you would give me on a regular basis if I was going to be your man. But see, here's the real thing. The real thing, the real reason I was having sex with the little boys, and when I got over, I had to have three women and several on the side, is because of fear. See, the disease of addiction, first of all, I believe equals I know. My name's Yogi. I'm smarter than the average bear, and I know every damn thing. You don't believe me, just ask me. I'll tell you. Okay? Number one. And so, it's always about thinking and feeling. An addict, a man or woman, whose use of any mind-changing, mood-altering substance becomes a problem in any area of life. Mind-changing, thinking, mood-altering, feeling. It says recovery is an active change in what? Ideas, mind-changing, and attitudes. Ideas and attitudes, mood-altering. Thinking and feeling. And what am I thinking and feeling about? Fear. I either think about fear or feel about fear most of the damn time. And if we look at your four step, what's it about? I'm scared. I'm scared of my shadow. Right now I've been blessed. I'm in business for myself. And my business has been struggling. Monday and Tuesday, we had a storm in Texas and the lights went out. Didn't make no money. Wednesday and Thursday, we didn't make no money. And Friday and Saturday, I've been up here. We didn't have the worst week we didn't have. And I'm worried about going out of business, worried about losing my business. But I heard somebody on the radio, and what they said when I was listening to the radio on the way up here, it said, we have a problem because we want to ask why instead of saying thank you. You know what I mean? I want to look at my problems. He left me. I lost my job. Car ain't running. All that stuff is sound pretty bad, but tell me what happens if you put some dope on it. See, I didn't overcome one of the biggest problems I ever had in my life. And what I'm going through today, it may be a little bit painful compared to what? It ain't painful as sitting on an anthill outside of my own house waiting for my wife and my kids to go to work because I'm too scared to go in and face them. And then when they leave, I break in my own house, tiptoe around, looking over my shoulder, kid, I'm going to catch me stealing my stuff. So doing something different is an act of changing ideas and attitudes. See, doing something different means I ain't going to have a fearless life. But see, I got high at age 14 on a Wednesday night, and I got high all day, every day for the next 28 years. Okay? Why did I do that? Because the dope made me feel good. See, when I got high on Wednesday night, I became an intellectual giant. When I got high on Wednesday night, I became an awesome dancer. When I got high on Wednesday night, I became a magnanimous lover. So I went and bought a quantity on Friday morning. See, I wasn't no slow progressing dope fiend. I bought a quantity on Friday morning and I got high all day, every day for the next 28 years. Because I could not imagine life without dope. And so this deal about doing something different came about when I discovered Narcotics Anonymous. Because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about the disease. I want to talk about the solution. Because, see, the solution, because the literature says that the disease makes it possible, if not possible, to acknowledge reality. Difficult, if not possible, to acknowledge reality. And the reality is, you know why I got high on Wednesday night? Because I felt good. You know why I kept getting high? Because I wanted to feel good all the time. See, but the disease, like I said, makes it difficult, if not possible, to acknowledge reality. And the reality is, ain't nobody going to feel good all the time. And see, I come into Narcotics Anonymous and I got clean and I thought that I was going to feel good all the time. But see, what I've learned is the problem is that being at peace and serene no matter how I feel. I've got to fight. You know, I believe we live in the 11 steps. Thought through prayer and meditation, improve conscious contact with a God, praying only for the knowledge of His Word and the power to carry that out. What that means to me is I spend most of my time trying to figure out what God wants me to do, and then I argue with Carl about not following God's instruction. Because I don't want to follow instructions. I want to dictate what God needs to do. I will Google it. I will call my friends. I'll read the encyclopedia. I will do everything, and then eventually I'll go to God. I want a GPS. I want a little voice say, in 300 feet, turn right. I don't want to listen to God. I don't want to follow the instructions that you guys give me in this fellowship. But, you know, I thank God for this fellowship. Because like I told you, I laid the groundwork for you. I didn't like none of y'all. Because I was sure that none of y'all liked me. My aunts didn't like me. My uncle didn't like me. My mama left me at the babysitter. My daddy cut my mama's throat because of me. The white boys didn't like me. The black boys didn't like me. The Mexicans didn't like me. I had evidence that I was unlikable. And it left to my own devices. I can come up here in this convention, 6,000 to 8,000 people, and be by myself. Because y'all are all them same white, black, and Mexican folks. But you know who the problem is? See, here's the literature. Here's what I believe. The problem ain't the dope. The problem is the dope that takes the dope. See, the problem is me. Y'all ain't got nothing different. Some of y'all may, but, you know, for the most part, the things that you have against me is what's in my imagination. See, that's my problem. I think, and I become fearful. My thinking causes feelings, and those feelings are fearful. And the only thing that I can do to uncover that, to go over that, is to do something different. You know what the thing is? I love the word faith, but you know what? It can be an adjective or it can be a verb. See, faith can be an adjective that describes the act of believing. But see, I got a gym membership. See, I can go to the gym anytime I want to. Been paying for that sucker for 13 years. Up until last year, I've been maybe 12 times. But I believe if I go to the gym and I work out, I'm going to have me a six-pack. I'm going to have me some pecs. I'm going to look good. I believe that. But until I take the verbiage, faith, and go in there and work out, I can believe all I want to. Until I do something, I get nothing. And see, that's what y'all taught me. That's what I say this topic is about, recovery. It said do something different. Active change in ideas and attitudes. See, this is a we program. Thank God it's a we program. Because, see, I can't go lock myself in the closet and come out with a new idea. Literature says eventually each one of us has something to offer. And I'm going to tell you something. I need to listen to everybody. Because, see, you're either an example or you're a warning. I need to pay attention to the ones that I don't think got a program. The ones I think ain't got no message, them's the ones I need to listen to very closely so I at least don't go down that path, number one. But number two, ask myself the fundamental question, how am I like them? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You don't you hate it when somebody tries to play and beat you with your own game? The one that you perfected? And they're going to try to beat you with your game. You spot it, you got it. You know, some of the people I dislike most are the people that are most like me, because I understand the source of their shortcomings. And I need to tell you about a guy named Lenny. I used to have a problem talking about him or her. I had a problem tricking. 3 years clean, I had a $300 a week fellatio habit. Some of y'all don't know what that means. I'll tell you after. But the deal was, on the way to work, I stopped by this tree. There was these girls that hung by the tree, and I'd stop by the tree, and I'd spend $20, $30. So I was a player up until I got clean, and then I discovered I'd been tricking for a long time. But I got in touch with the fact that I was a trick. But you know, when you get clean, you don't want to go all the way spiritual. You just want to be a little bit spiritual. Right? So part of the reason I had a $300 a week habit, because she'd get in the car and she'd act crazy. And back in the day, if she act crazy, I'd slap her in the Adam's apple. But see, I didn't want to go there no more. So when she act crazy, I just hear $20, just get out the car. And Mr. Patel be knocking on the door. You got to pay $10. Your hour up, you got to pay $10. I give him $10. He got so Mr. Patel was charging me $35 for a $10 an hour room. Because I could not go there. But see, the spirituality, the deal that hurt me the most was that I had to realize that I needed to do something different. See, the disease of addiction, if you're new to this stuff, anybody with year less, please stand. Year less. Year less. Yeah. Yeah. Some dignitaries in the room. Thank you. Somebody told you a couple of misinterpreted stuff. They told you you need to stop hanging around the same people, places, and things. That's what it says. It says change. If you just don't hang around the same people, places, and things, and don't get you some new people, places, and things, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go back. So that's a lie. Somebody also told you the disease of addiction is outside doing push-ups. You want to go out there and look and report? But see, I'm going to tell you, see, the disease of addiction, the one I have, ain't stupid. And it knows that if I die, it dies. It just wants me to violate my own principles. See, I got diabetes, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. And I used to ride around tricking. I'd ride around for 4 or 5 hours, and then I didn't trick that night. And then I say, whew, I didn't do it. I'm on my way home. And the disease said, you a punk. Look at you. You went out there and did all that stuff. Then you spend all that money riding around, you're going to be tired, and you didn't even trick. And then it said, but there's a jack-in-the-box over there. So it said, why don't you go over there and get you some jack-in-the-box? So I get me an ultimate cheeseburger and a chocolate malt. And the disease comes back afterwards and says, boy, you're a real fool. You ride around, you spend all your money, you're halfway sick, and then you go get you a chocolate malt. You may as well go back down to the stroll. That's what I did. I went back down to the stroll. And I picked up 3 girls. I paid one of them to get out, and I had sex with the other two. And then the disease said, boy, you just may as well go get high. Says you done rode around. Then you went and bought all this food. Then you went and tricked anyway. Ooh, there's another jack in the box. And I stopped. The point I'm trying to make is the disease of addiction just wants to cause you pain. If it can't get you high, it don't care. It'll just have you doing some stuff that you don't want to do. Violate your own principles. Do something different than what you know is the right thing to do. That's why I love the topic. Do something different, not him and her. And I think about people pleasing. See, in my business, y'all ever meet people for some reason they just intimidate you? It's just something about them that makes you feel like they more important than you. There's something inside cries out for failure. And you're looking at this one and this guy, is something about him. He's got more money than me, or he's more important than me, or he's a businessman, or whatever. And I got to the point where I wouldn't stand up. I called my employers. You need to call this customer and tell him such and such. Call my wife. This was your customer. You need to take care of it. But see, what I'm learning is I need to take care of it. I know how I want it taken care of. And when I do take care of it, I start to feel good about myself. Because, see, doing something different is what makes me a better man. It's what makes me in recovery, active change in ideas and attitudes. It's about taking action in spite of the way I feel. And I want to say this before I go, because I know my time's running low. This is a We Fellowship, and I thank each and every one of you for my recovery. Because, see, I don't know about y'all, but I ain't never been nowhere like Narcotics Anonymous, where they stand up for your right to be wrong, where they love you regardless of how you feel or how you think. And like I told you, when I share, a lot of times I share with songs, because I grew up in old school days. I know y'all know what old school is. Rhythm and blues. And there was this song that I think about that I refer to a lot of times when I share. And I'm going to sing a few verses of it. I can't sing. Let me warn you in advance. But it's the words of this song said, I needed to shelter someone's arms. And there you were. I needed someone to understand my ups and downs. There you were, with sweet love and devotion, simply touching my emotion. I just want to stop and thank you, baby. I just want to stop and thank you, baby. Well, well, how sweet it is to be loved by you. Second verse says, close my eyes at night, wondering what it'd be like without you in my life. All the things are just a bore. Things I've done seems I've done them before. But you brighten up all my days, changed my life so many ways. I just want to stop. And thank you, baby. I just want to stop and thank you, baby. Well, well, how sweet it is to be loved by you. They told me I need to do something different. See, Sister Jones told me I need to go over there where they heal the sick and raise the dead. And I went over there, and this big old dude with some bad breath rubbed some stuff on my forehead, threw me down on the ground. I jumped up and ran to the dope house. That scared the devil out of me. You know, somebody said the devil made him do it, but the devil's name is Carl. Did y'all know that? But see, here's the thing. There was a song over at Sister Jones's place that I'm going to close with. It's a song about amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. I want you to know they still healing the sick and raising the dead inside the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know how I know? Because I go to meetings. You know how I know? Because I got a sponsor. You know how I know? Because I go to extensions. You know how I know? Because I'm an addict. My name's Carl, and I keep coming back.